Welcome to another episode of Fountain City Sports Media, a podcast made by Kansas City fans for Kansas City fans. Now, this is the fun thing. So I'm not sure whose podcast is going to go first today. Armando and I were going to do a joint podcast. Life got in the way. So what we agreed on doing is Armando is going to be talking about free agent updates and updates going on around the league. And meanwhile, I will be talking about the whole stadium situation as it unfolded in Kansas City over the last 10 days. Now, like I said, I don't know who's going first in this podcast, so Armando may have explained that all to you already. But just in case I'm going first, that's the situation. You got two separate individual casts, two for the price of one. What a great bargain. How are y'all doing today? I'm very excited to be here. My name's Reese. And as I mentioned, we're going to be talking about the stadium quagmire that's been unrolled in Kansas City, honestly, for the better part of the last 4 years, realistically, since John Sherman purchased the Kansas City Royals. So, this is what's fun. There's been a lot of talk going around the NFL recently about free agents going places. I know Stephon Diggs was just traded. Derrick Henry traded not too long ago. There's plenty to talk about. And honestly, I do really want to talk about that stuff. So I'm excited to see what Armando has to say about it. So next time that we get together, we can kind of hash out our differences or, you know, shake hands and pat each other on the back for what we agree on. It's also worth noting that I don't know how, but we are suddenly 2 weeks away from the NFL draft, I believe. 2 weeks away, which is insane. I mean, not to mention, geez, Rashi Rice played Grand Theft Auto in real life recently here, so we got that to talk about too. Oh my gosh, there's so much going on right now. So much going on. I just want to like get into all of it, but I can't. I can't, because I promise I would keep this to stadium talk. And man, I'm gonna let you know right now, we can get so into the weeds on this that this honestly could be its entire like 60 to 90 minute episode, a la the history of Kansas football episode we put out back in like, what was that, 2020 or 2021? Like, we could seriously do that for this. And honestly, maybe we will, because this is gonna be a developing story until a conclusion is come to, which, I tell you what, after this vote last week, we are as far from a conclusion of this as possible. This past vote was the intro screen on a movie or a video game where, let's use the video game reference, you've been playing essentially for 2 or 3 hours now, well, 2 hours, and you've just defeated like the first boss, and you think like, okay, we're in the story, and then you realize that like now the story is actually unveiling because of beating that boss. The title screen has just played. You're 2 hours into the video game and the title screen has just played. That's exactly where we are with the Kansas City Truman Sports Complex saga that is unraveling before us. So where to begin on this? We're going to start back here. I'm going to give you some cliff notes on what's been going on. So in 2020, Royals longtime owner David Glass sold the team. Glass sold to John Sherman, who is a Kansas City, Missouri native. And I think he's made his money in, I think, alternative energy, particularly wind. Don't quote me on that. And when he purchased the team in 2020, Royals fans are very optimistic. We were as deep in the desert as we had been post-World Series run in 2015. And John Sherman was coming fresh off of being essentially the right-hand man for the owner of the Cleveland Guardians. And Cleveland, during that stretch, you might remember, had an all-time great World Series against the Cubs. They had set attendance records. They had won, I think, the AL Central 3 or 4 times since 2015, all while Sherman was there. And to much applaud from the owner, who basically said, like, Sherman and I basically run this team 50-50. Like, he's not technically the owner GM, but like we basically run this team 50-50. So Royals fans were excited because we're like, wow, this is a guy that turned a really bad franchise around, took him to a World Series, kept him competitive. They seem to have made a system, and everything that was wrong, and honestly still is wrong in the Royals, has to do with front office, has to do with system, has to do with development, has to do with the Royals way. But the first thing he mentions when he takes over as the owner is that the lease for both teams at the Truman Sports Complex, Arrowhead, Kauffman Stadium, is up in 2031. Now, that's 11 years down the road. So, you know, it's not in the immediate, but it's something you got to keep your eye on. So, Kansas City fans were a little surprised that they're talking about it that soon and that he's being that forward and upfront about it. He's talking about how the concrete in Arrowhead is, or the concrete in Kauffman is crumbling and has concrete cancer, and the stadium, you know, is basically falling apart, which came to a shock as a lot of Royals fans, because I'm biased. I've been to, I think, 5 or 6 MLB ballparks in my life. Dude, Kauffman Stadium is gorgeous. Kauffman Stadium is about as nice as they come until you get into those S-tier stadiums like Pittsburgh, St. Louis, San Francisco. And even then, I'm starting to let my voice drop. The only thing Kauffman Stadium is missing is a downtown backdrop. You got I-70, a Denny's, and a Fellowship of Christian Athletes building on the horizon. That's all you got. But that's all it's missing. Royals fans love Kauffman Stadium. Not to mention, they had significant renovations done prior to the 2012 MLB All-Star Game. So I'm serious. I have walked into stadiums before that are older stadiums, and you're like, wow, this feels tired. Kauffman in no way, shape, or form feels tired, that it is, quote, falling apart or in need of demolition. But that is what we're being told in 2020 by new Royals owner John Sherman. So let's flash forward a bit here. Between then and now, there's been more talk from the Royals about, you know, well, we're, you know, identifying different locations, because they've made it all but clear at this point. There will be no renovations on Kauffman. It will cost, they have said, as much to renovate Kauffman as it would be to just build a new stadium, which, again, attending Kauffman Stadium games, you would never believe that there was over $1 billion of Band-Aids needed to be put on that place to keep it running. It's beautiful. It's gorgeous. But this is what we're continuously being told. The stadium's falling apart. Concrete cancer is the big word they keep using. It's just a bad shape. So they're talking about, we're looking at new locations. I think they said they had 22 locations they were looking at. And during that time, people are saying, well, where are you finding 22 potential locations in the metro area for a new stadium? Because realistically, there are a few spots in the metro where the stadium could go. And I'm going to list them off for you here. Realistically, you have the East Village, which is right off of the downtown, kind of between the downtown and the 18th and Vine District, which I don't know how many city blocks that is. You could walk from the downtown to 18th and Vine in the span of like 5-10 minutes. Walk it. It's kind of a no man's land. There's some parking lots, like one building. Wouldn't be a terrible place. You also have North Kansas City, which sounds like it's the north of the city. North Kansas City is its own principality. This is like this itty bitty, like 10-by-10-mile block right over the river. You can see the downtown right there. I can see the downtown from my old apartment balcony in North Kansas City. And I mean, you hop on the 9 highway and drive towards the city, you are in the heart of the downtown in 5 to 7 minutes. I mean, it is that close. The West Bottoms, the old Stockyard District in Kansas City, was also one of the spots where people said, well, this makes absolute sense. There's nothing but old abandoned buildings down there that can easily be demoed. You have access to the highway from 4 or 5 different points down there. And if you want to get to the downtown, you literally hop up one road and drive straight into the downtown. You'll be there in 2-3 minutes. There are also some spots out in Kansas, the Legends, where the NASCAR track, Sporting Kansas City, and the Giant Outlet Center is. There's some spot in Wyandotte County, which people have been talking about, that I personally don't know where this spot is, but it keeps coming up. Wyandotte's what they call one of the core 4 counties in Kansas City Metro. So, you know, essentially, again, in the downtown Kansas City. So all those spots I mentioned are the realistic spots where this stadium could be going. So where they're getting 22 locations, nobody really knows. And when people say, can you elaborate on these locations? They're really shady about it. They go, well, you know, we're going to kind of keep our cards close to our chest. You know, we're not far enough along that we can really extrapolate on anything at this point. So just trust us on this. Just trust us on this. And it's like, okay. Flash forward about another year or so, And you've seen some stadium renderings of what a new Kauffman Stadium, they wouldn't even call it Kauffman, what a new Royals Stadium would look like. You know, oh, downtown, rah-rah-rah-rah. And dude, it looks cookie cutter and boring AF. I mean, cookie cutter and boring AF. Nothing about this stadium stands out. No fountains like the Royals currently have. No Crown Vision, which at one point was the biggest video board in the United States. Nothing of that would carry over. It was like bland EA Sports create a stadium renderings. And people were like, you gotta be kidding. You're gonna have to do better than that if we're gonna like buy into this whole downtown stadium thing. It is then released that the Royals are looking at, and they have narrowed it down to two locations, from 22 locations to two locations. Those two locations being that East Village I was telling you about between the downtown and 18th and Vine, that no man's land, as well as North Kansas City apparently had really put down a strong, powerful bid. The reason why I was in favor of North Kansas City, obviously I was living there at the time, I still live in what they call the Northlands, which is the north part of the metro, is that North Kansas City, much like that West Bottoms district, is tons of vacated storefronts, old warehouses, basically nothing up there. But the city of North Kansas City itself already has a strip bar district, movie theater. It's like a small town main street up there in North Kansas City. It's like, dude, you build the stadium right there. You got unlimited space to play with. You can create your Wrigleyville and like integrate the downtown North Kansas City with that. Plus, like I said, from the lot and they were pitching in North Kansas City, forget that 7 minutes down the highway. They are 3 minutes down the highway from downtown Kansas City. Perfect spot. All that to say, those were the final two locations. Now, at one point, they pitched a concept of moving it downtown. The old Kansas City Star newspaper building, which is a beautiful building, but has remained vacant for, I think, close to 10 years now since the newspaper went under. It got bought by a media conglomerate, whatever. They're not printing newspapers there anymore. They said, well, we could knock down the Kansas City Star building. And, you know, we could build a garden over the highway and, you know, take over some of these buildings. Haha, wouldn't that be funny, guys? And people were like, that sounds like a terrible idea. And they're like, yeah, I know. We're just kidding. That's not a thing. So our final two stadium spots, guys, are the East Village or North Kansas City. And we'll let you know. This is back in April. They said, we'll let you know. It'll be on the ballot. Or sorry, this is back in October. They said, we'll let you know. It'll be on the ballot in April. Keep an eye out, guys. East Village, North Kansas City. It is the day before their announcement of their location site, which they have now been kicking around for over 4 years. Their final two locations, North Kansas City, East Village site. They pull back the curtain, they show their drawings and renderings, and it's revealed, we've chosen the Kansas City Star location. We're going to knock down that building. It's right in the heart of the crossroads. We're going to eminent domain all these businesses out so we can build training facilities and Royals offices and hotels and a Wrigleyville. It's going to be great, guys. Come buy in. Here's the problem with that. For over a year, we had heard that they had narrowed it down to the East Village and to North Kansas City. But suddenly at the last second, that Kansas City Star Crossroads District idea is the one they chose out of nowhere. That one they joked about as like a super offshoot possibility is suddenly the one they chose. Where did that come from? Now, here's the problem. The Crossroads has been a blossoming district in downtown Kansas City in about the 10 years since I've lived down here. When I first moved down here in about 2015, the Crossroads had a few businesses down there. It was kind of hipstery, but again, an old downtown Kansas City district, you know, a lot of open storefronts, warehouse kind of stuff. But since that time, that district has truly grown and evolved into one of the highlights of not just downtown Kansas City, but Kansas City in general. It's no longer the plucky upstart with a few like cool hipstery businesses. It is blocks upon blocks of art galleries, coffee shops, breweries, small businesses, salons, restaurants. This is no longer the little engine that could. the Crossroads District, in all honesty, is as close to like Brooklyn of Kansas City as you're going to find. It didn't need anybody's help. And the Royals are just going to come in here all of a sudden and take it over and put their stadium there and demolish all of these businesses and kick them out. That did not fly with people in Kansas City who already didn't feel that Kauffman Stadium needed to be renovated, leveled, and started anew. All this to say, over the past 4 years, the Royals have been incredibly secretive, glossing over, and just non-descriptive about their plans. Whenever a question was asked, well, you know, this is going to bring in tons of tax revenue and the people will really benefit. Okay, can you give us some specifics on how the people really benefit? Oh, don't worry. We'll figure it out later. And then with this downtown site, they say, yeah, we did a full appraisal of downtown, and we discovered we actually don't need to build any more parking spots. They have 4,500 spots downtown. Yeah, we don't need a parking garage, none of that. Okay, except for the fact that there's nowhere to park downtown right now, and that's before you have a baseball stadium there. Can you explain parking a little bit more? Oh, don't worry about it. We'll figure it out. They then go on to throw even more buzzwords about, you know, oh, money going to benefit the schools, going to benefit public transportation, all these buzzwords. And when people say, can you be more specific? We need some hard numbers. How is this going to help the schools? They just say, don't worry, it will. Trust us. And this has been going on for 4 years. So it's easy to say why the residents of Jackson County were reticent to vote on continuing a sales tax to support this building in a district everybody already loves. It's crazy. So now, I've been talking for about 10, 15 minutes. And you're probably saying, Reese, this is the Chiefs podcast. We're going to get the Chiefs. Here's where the Chiefs come in. As mentioned, the Truman Sports Complex is currently in Jackson County. It is located on the outskirts of Jackson County near two suburbs known as Raytown and Independence. You're down the highway from downtown Kansas City, notably down the highway. Arrowhead Stadium and Kauffman Stadium are side-by-side tenants in the Truman Sports Complex, which is a giant, just like concrete parking lot off the highway. It's very impressive when you roll in, to be honest, and both stadiums look beautiful from the highway. They really do. When this was proposed in the 70s, one of the big pitches was they could build, which would have been just futuristic, two giant rails to support what is called the rolling roof. And the rolling roof would be able to cover Arrowhead in case it was, you know, like super rainy or snowy, or they just needed some protection from the elements. And during the summer, it could roll over Kauffman Stadium on the days where these Kansas City summers are 105 degrees with the sunshine out. It was a great idea, but due to budget constraints originally, they had to scrap the rolling roof concept from the Truman Sports Complex. The only time it has reared its head again was in 2007, when Kansas City was actually awarded a Super Bowl from the NFL, provided they could get something on the ballot to cover the stadium. Enter again the rolling roof concept. Now, Kansas City had, I think it's a 3-year window to comply, or they would have to forfeit the bid. So they reintroduced the rolling roof concept, put it on a ballot, and it narrowly failed. I believe the final vote was 52 no, 48 yes. So it just failed. Subsequently, no rolling roof, lost the Super Bowl bid. That's okay. But for the longest time now, Kansas City residents have joked and always talked about bringing back the rolling roof, mainly so we can get a Super Bowl or even some other events that require covering. So Kansas City's been getting events over the past 5, 6, 7, 8 years we wouldn't get before. The NFL draft, the World Series, concerts, things like that. So naturally, wanting a covered stadium or at least a retractable roof of sorts to get a Super Bowl, to get a Final Four, to attract events like that has been actually pretty high on the list of a lot of Kansas Cityans. Now, in order to get the Royals ballot passed, They asked the Chiefs to do a joint bid. A joint bid for this sales tax. Now, can you imagine why? On one hand, you have a team that's had two winning seasons in the past, I believe it is 37 years now. Two winning seasons, period. And on the other hand, you have the Kansas City Royals, three Super Bowl wins. You get the gist. I'm not going to go through all the numbers. And they also have Patrick Mahomes. So the Royals thought, well, we probably can't get this to pass by ourselves, but if the Chiefs slap their name on this, there's a good chance we can get this ballot to pass by the skin of our teeth. So the Chiefs, you know, Arrowhead Stadium, second oldest stadium in the NFL behind Lambeau at this point, said, yeah, we can figure something out. You know, we'll get some renovations put together. You know, we'll bring it to ballot and we'll see if we can, you know, attach ourselves to this and get it to pass. Because the Chiefs know that the Royals will be leaving Kansas, or will be leaving the Truman Sports Complex in 2031 one way or the other. They are not renovating Kauffman. They're either going to build another stadium somewhere in the metro, or they're selling that team to Nashville or Charlotte. That's a foregone conclusion. Chiefs technically just have to wait it out, and the Royals will be gone. So they're thinking, sooner we get them gone, the more we can have fun to play. So the big day finally arrives. This is about a month ago. And Clark Hunt, Kansas City Chiefs president, Mark Donovan, all those guys are together to unveil these renderings for what an updated, new and improved Arrowhead would look like. And I tell you what, it was palpable. People were very excited to see this. These were the renovation concepts that were brought forth by the Kansas City Chiefs. A new turf-covered activation zone with tailgate areas and covered entertainment space built over the current site of Kauffman Stadium for game day activations and year-round community opportunities. A new upper concourse connection bridge, which will create a 360-degree wraparound connectivity for fans on the upper concourse, as well as additional space for new food and beverage points of sale. Upper concourse canopy will provide weather protection for the pours on the upper level concourse, in addition to infrared heaters and overhead fans increasing year-round comfort. New VIP stadium entry points will lead to all new spaces inside the stadium and will also decrease poor traffic and congestion at existing general admission gates. New sideline clubs will be constructed after excavating under the lower level seating bowl to create new premium experiences for game days and special events. New video boards will be increased in size while keeping their iconic shape to complement the stadium's unique curved end zones, with new LED ribbon boards will be installed. Upgraded TV, Wi-Fi, and data distribution and audio technology will also be introduced throughout the stadium, enhancing fan connectivity as well as clarity and quality of the game presentation in stadium. New end zone clubs and suites will introduce new viewing and hospitality experiences that are now common in newer NFL venues. New concession stands, retail spaces, and restrooms will result in improved access and reduced wait times around the building. A new field access tunnel will provide a new field access point for visiting teams closer to new existing team areas, as well as faster event turnaround for major concerts and other special events. Full suite and lounge renovations and updates will deliver the latest in technology, fixtures, and furniture for every existing suite. Traditional concession stands will be converted into grab-and-go markets. Three new pedestrian bridges will eliminate interruption to vehicle traffic flow, resulting in improved safety and event experience. Dedicated rideshare zone, promoting a more seamless rideshare experience for football games and concerts while reducing congestion. It's worth noting that rideshare zone would be all the way outside of the stadium footprint, over the highway, and built across from the highway. New parking deck on south side of stadium and expanded parking on north side of the stadium. Lot O RV parking will be expanded, paved, and permanently lit, with permanent restroom facilities being built for the user experience. I want to throw some numbers out here for you guys. The Arrowhead renovation price tag was predicted to be $800 million, which we all know they never stick to the budget. The county, Jackson County, was on the hook for $500 million of that $800 million. Here's the problem. They said that's $800 million worth of renovations Where? How is all of that $800 million? And the thing is, too, a lot of these, as I tongue-in-cheek alluded to, are things that the average Chiefs fan will never see and will never get to use. New VIP stadium entry points, sideline clubs where they're going to gut end zone seats from season ticket holders and make those really crappy-looking decks being their version of the club in Las Vegas' stadium. New sideline clubs? Are you kidding me? New end zone clubs and suites? All of these things? A new field access tunnel for the other team? Okay, very cool, very nice. Full suite and club lounge? Dude, these aren't things for the average Chiefs fan. What the Chiefs said to the residents of Jackson County is, give us $500 million so we can take things away from you and make the game day experience for rich fans, for privileged fans, even better. That's a lot of crap. The things that other people would be getting, I'm talking that activation zone. I can't show you the images, obviously, I'm talking, but the activation zone looks like a small plot of AstroTurf with a few lights around it and like a small stage in the middle of the parking lot. That's the activation zone. They're also having an upper concourse canopy. Okay, yeah, I guess that's nice. So I don't have to walk down to the second concourse to walk around the building. And those infrared heaters, okay, for like the three, maybe four games a year where it's seriously cold at Arrowhead. Yeah, that's great. Also, the ride share that they kicked as far away from the stadium as possible. It's insane. It's insane. Now, just some numbers here for comparison. For a point of comparison, I want to use US Bank Stadium in Minnesota. It's in the same part of the country. You know, it's not inflated by coastal prices. It's only, oh goodness, it's somehow already 8 years old. That's crazy. But case in point, since it was built in 2016, US Bank Stadium is consistently ranked as one of the top five in the NFL. It's a combination of modern architecture, fan experience, and just overall how to make a stadium. So US Bank Stadium cost $1.1 billion in 2016, which is $1.3 billion adjusted. Arrowhead's renovations, by comparison, were $800 million. I can tell you, the Arrowhead renovations were not 62% of the stadium that US Bank Stadium is. Additionally, state and city combined to pay over $500 million for US Bank Stadium. Meanwhile, Jackson County, just Jackson County, was set to foot the bill of $500 million for the Arrowhead renovations. Why the state of Missouri was not pulled into that, while the metro of Kansas City was not pulled into that, which is an entirely different conversation for a different day, is insane. But again, Arrowhead renovations were not 62% of the stadium that US Bank Stadium is. And quite frankly, it's insulting. So going into the election, the general feeling around the city after a few straw polls, all the straw polls are very close. A lot of times it was 50-49 with a 3% plus or minus error. So it was kind of like, yo, this is gonna be really close. Going into the day of election, both the Chiefs and the Royals said, we think it's going to be a close election, but I think we're going to come out on top. And honestly, I can say I had that same sentiment going into this election. As a resident of Platte County, which is a different county in the metro, I did not get to vote in this election. So I just had to kind of sit back and let the chips fall where they were going to. As it turned out, they called this election 2 hours before the polls closed with the no vote, winning in a landslide, 58-42. That is probably one of the most shocking results in a sports-related contest since the Legion of Boom put the hurt on Peyton Manning and the Denver Broncos. 58-42 said no, and it wasn't even close. It wasn't even close. So in the morning after fallout, Kansas City Chiefs owner, or sorry, Kansas City Royals owner, John Sherman, sent out a message to the fans, to Jackson County, in which he said, "We respect the voters of Jackson County and the results of the election today. We will take some time to reflect on and process the outcome and find a path forward that works for the Royals and our fans." I think that's a pretty fair concession speech. I really appreciate that he at least gave the lip service to say we will take some time to reflect on and process the outcome for a path forward that works for the Royals and our fans. That was the big thing. This was not the city saying we don't want the Royals anymore. This was not the city saying F you. This was not the city saying billionaires should fund their own playground. It was a bait and switch location that would eminent domain the heart of a thriving district that gives Kansas City its character. They glossed over a number of things throughout the past 4-year process and gave us a lot of answers of trust us and we'll figure it out. All the voters of Jackson County and anyone on the Missouri side said was, honestly, we don't like this location. We don't feel there's enough transparency going on here. We would like to take some time and just rediscuss this and have you bring a better bid to the table. And I think, at least on the surface, Royals owner John Sherman acknowledged that. And Lord willing, we'll get another chance here in the next 6 to 12 months. Meanwhile, Marnie Sherman, the wife of Royals owner John Sherman, took to Facebook with this post. Quote, "Unfortunately, neither team will work with Jackson County again. They had been working behind the scenes for 2 years attempting to get a location approached, which was, I think, Frank White's plan all along." Frank White being a former disgruntled Royals player, that's its own story. "In any case, most unfortunate for sports fans in Kansas City. The lack of leadership has cost the city two treasured assets. I mean, if you don't support the Chiefs after 3 Super Bowl wins, why would they stay? We will be lucky if both teams wind up in Kansas, at least still in the area." End quote. While that is not an official statement, and sounds like the musings of someone who was disgruntled and upset with the outcome of the election, that's a little surprising to say and very contrasting to what I think was a very articulate and well thought out statement by owner John Sherman. Now, going to the other side of the parking lot to the Kansas City Chiefs, Chiefs President Mark Donovan said, "We respect the process. We respect the decision of the Jackson County voters. We're disappointed. We feel we put forth the best offer for Jackson County. We were not ready to extend the longstanding partnership that the teams have enjoyed with this county. Sorry, we were ready to extend the longstanding partnership that the teams have enjoyed with this county. This is important." I find it interesting that the team that had less skin in the game on this seemingly comes out far more disgruntled and a bit of sour grapes on this election than John Sherman and the Royals did. I'll tell you what, the issue is Jackson County did not vote no, that they were not willing to extend this relationship with the Royals and the Chiefs. This joint pitch was so lackluster, had so many holes in the issue, and quite frankly, the Chiefs laid a bit of a wet fart when they were announcing their renovation ideas that the voters of Jackson County said, "We don't want to vote for this. We don't want to support $500 million for a Royal Stadium in a district we already love that already has terrible parking and just came out of nowhere. And also this very lackluster milquetoast best effort quote that the Chiefs put forward. No, we don't want to do that." You know, it's kind of funny. Someone on Reddit actually summed this all up pretty well. I'm going to read this really quick. So the synopsis of this is Chiefs and Royals said, "Hey, we want to build a new stadium in the Crossroads." Kansas City said, "We have some concerns about these plans." Chiefs and Royals said, "Just vote yes and we'll figure it all out later." The Chiefs said, "So can you provide some clarity on a few points here?" Chiefs and Royals said, "Look, what's your problem here? Anyone who doesn't vote yes for this isn't really a fan of the Chiefs or Royals." Kansas City said, "It's not that. After all, we just stuck through both teams through multiple horrendous losing seasons, remember? But we think this barely half-baked plan will be a no from us." Chiefs and Royals said, "Wow, so ungrateful. Okay, then, we're done. After the way you've treated us, you'll be lucky if we even go to Kansas. I should have mentioned throughout this whole process the concept and thinly veiled threat of leaving Kansas City was used and pushed by both teams, particularly the Kansas City Royals. Particularly the Kansas City Chiefs, which is incredibly surprising considering that Lamar Hunt, who moved the team to Kansas City from his hometown in Texas, and has said Arrowhead was his favorite place on earth, and Clark loves to wax poetic about how Arrowhead was his dad's favorite place on earth. Why would they threaten to leave so much? And to further murky the waters on this, you have some mouthpieces in the media around Kansas City that are saying, if this vote doesn't pass, we could lose the Chiefs and the Royals. But what they don't specify is, do you define losing the Chiefs and the Royals as the teams going to a different state, or the teams going over to the Kansas side, or the teams even staying on the Missouri side and leaving Jackson County? They never really specified. They used a lot of bullying and scare tactics. And what's funny is that it seems to resonate with a lot of people down here in Kansas City, which as a non-native, I can't speak to, but this concept of the team leaving for the Kansas side, let alone even Clay County and the Missouri side, is somehow Kansas City losing these teams? That's absolutely asinine. Look, I love Arrowhead Stadium. I think it's an absolute monument to the NFL, maybe even the game of football. And I think it's a beautiful stadium. That being said, I love having a team in the metro area far more than I love Arrowhead Stadium. Far more. And let me, just for some fun, I looked some things up for you, okay? There are several teams in the NFL that are not located officially in the city they say they are. Can we go through these really quick? Here we go. The Las Vegas Raiders, technically in Paradise, Nevada, which is 10 minutes away from the Las Vegas Strip. The Buffalo Bills, Orchard Park, technically 18 minutes away from downtown Buffalo. The Arizona Cardinals, now they're not a city, it's just Arizona, but they're in Phoenix, right? Nope. They're in Glendale, 18 minutes away from downtown Phoenix. Los Angeles Rams and Chargers, located in Inglewood, 21 minutes away. The New York Jets and Giants, East Rutherford, New Jersey, 23 minutes away. The Dallas Cowboys, America's team. How about them Cowboys? Arlington, Texas, 24 minutes away. Washington Commanders, our nation's capital, a beacon organization in this league. Landover, Maryland, 25 minutes away. And of course, the San Francisco 49ers of Santa Clara, 44 minutes away from downtown. Just for contrast, Kansas City Mo to Kansas City, Kansas, 7 minutes away downtown to downtown. If they move it out to the Legends on the Johnson County side of Kansas City, Kansas, that would be just behind the Bills and the Cardinals, a 19-minute drive from downtown Kansas City, Missouri, to the Legends Complex in Johnson County in Kansas City, Kansas. Anyone who says that the team going to the Kansas side is losing the team has a Napoleon complex. They're insecure about everything. I don't give two flying flips if they move over to the Kansas side, which is where all the money is in the metro to begin with. I have not seen the updated version of this chart, but a few years ago, they did a study and Johnson County, Kansas was the second wealthiest county per capita behind, I believe it was Orange County in California. The money is in Johnson County. And if they want to move to Johnson County, that's totally fine. The governor of Kansas has even said they had a $2.3 billion surplus. And they have $1 billion of money ready and available to throw at both of these teams to keep them in the area. And that's not counting new tax or taxpayer money. I know technically all government money comes from taxpayers, but this is $1 billion that they already have collected sitting in a piggy bank that they can crack open to give to the Royals and or the Chiefs to keep them in the metro. Let him have them. This isn't saying leave. This isn't saying I don't want you. It makes way more sense. It's totally fine. Keep him in the area. Anyway, there's so much more to dig deep on this. And I would really love to, but I am seeing I've already talked 40 minutes, which is about 15 minutes longer than I thought this was going to take. But just to keep everyone up to speed, this is the story of what's been going on with the stadium. As of right now, if I had to put a bet on it, the Chiefs leaving for the Kansas side of things, I would say as fair as a coin flip. The Chiefs leaving the Metro, I find incredibly unlikely. There's not a lot of Metros looking to support an NFL team right now that could support an NFL team. Now, the Royals, John Sherman, at least on the surface, seems more intent on keeping the team in the Metro area because he's a native from the Metro. But if I had to place, you know, a bet on it, I would say the Royals are more likely to wind up going to Nashville or Charlotte or, heck, Salt Lake City, maybe one of these baseball metros looking to expand. That's a story for a different time, though. And for now, thank you for sticking with me as I gave you a stadium update on what's been going on. Like I said, this is just the title card playing after beating the first boss 2 hours into a video game. We have years of talk before we run into crunch time to get this figured out. Until then, thank you for listening to Fountain City Sports Media. I hope you all have a great rest of your week. We'd like to thank you for joining us today on Fountain City Sports Media. This podcast is brought to you by listener support, so consider becoming a friend of the podcast. Check out our Patreon page at patreon.com/FCSM to gain access to premium content, including outtakes, bonus episode beer reviews. Check out our website at fountaincitysportsmedia.com for more info on the podcast, social media, and of course, the goings-on in the beer industry. Special thanks to bands Carswell and Hope and Like a Tiger for providing our intro and outro themes. And as always, I'm Reese, and alongside my good friend Armando, we thank you for tuning in to Fountain City Sports Media.